Thank you for the privilege of being here. I am so aware that God has given me a peculiar and singular privilege of being in your country, and I am deeply grateful. I have met many godly people, and I praise God to be in America and just be surrounded by the cream of the people of God, and it's been a great joy. Now for these few nights, I am so grateful you came the first night, every one of you, deeply, deeply grateful. Thank you that you love Christ. Father, I do praise thee for these that came to the house of God tonight, and I praise thee for their minister who loves them with the love of God, for thy love is in his heart. And I thank thee for the privilege of standing in his pulpit, of standing alongside the work he has done and is doing with the grace of God. And I ask thee, Lord, in thy mercy, these moments that we are gathered together, that thou would come and give us such a heart that will be coming, seeking after God as never before in our lives. But we need to hear thy voice, Lord, for that to happen, not man's voice. So come make thy word the living. The letter killeth, the spirit giveth life. Come give life to thy word, Lord, and speak to every heart. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. In the entire Bible, the chapter that is most feared by modern-day Christianity is 1 John chapter 3, where we read these words, "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Every man that hath this hope of being like Jesus when we see him, of being like Jesus, every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, for he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay out our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, there is not love in words, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And thereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing His sight. And this is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave His commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit which He hath given us. Now the axle upon which this whole chapter revolves, is verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Is not of God. We are living in a chaotic and dangerous and superficial age in the church. We are living in a chaotic and dangerous and superficial age in the church. And I believe the time has come for everyone that dares to name the name of Jesus as their Savior to examine themselves whether they be in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Examine yourselves only in the mirror of God's Word. And if this book condemns you, be careful how you react. Be careful. We read in James chapter 1 verse 21, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. In chapter 2 verse 14, James asks a staggering question. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things that are needful to the body, what are the profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. James does not say here you're saved by works. No. No, he's not contradicting Paul, who says, by grace are ye saved, through faith, not of works. Not of works. It's the gift of God to him that worketh not, but believeth in him that justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted to him for righteousness. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Oh, no, James does not contradict Paul or the rest of the scriptures. He's not here being a controversy. In doctrine, there's no such a thing as a controversy in the Bible. No such a thing. You realize that no matter what you can't understand as the years go by, more and more light comes and you say, oh, now I see. There's no such a thing as a contradiction in the Bible. James is not contradicting Paul, no. He teaches exactly in line with what Paul teaches and Jesus and Peter, the whole scriptures in one accord. James does not say here you're saved by works. No, you're saved by faith. But you're not saved unless your faith works. You're not saved unless your faith works. You're not saved by works. You're saved by faith. But you're not saved unless your faith works. That's what James is saying. And Jesus says that. And Paul teaches that every breath in his body, in the context of every verse he says, is crying out what James is crying out here. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. The faith. In Matthew 7, verse 17, the Lord Jesus says, even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? That means preach, just literally preach. Preachers are going to say that. Do you know that? Christ says, preachers, many preachers are going to cry out, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Preachers, you who cast out devils in the name of Jesus Christ, you who cast out devils in the name of Jesus Christ, you who do wonderful works in the name of Jesus Christ, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, lest you someday stand before Christ and hear these words, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. To everyone, God holds these words. We read in 1 John 2 verse 3, hereby we do know that we know him. Hereby we do know that we know him. If we keep his commandments, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. A liar, God says. God says. Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Let's listen to that verse again. Hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. To everyone that dares to name the name of Jesus as their Savior, Paul asks this staggering question in Romans chapter 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid! Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things where ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants of God, ye have your fruit unto holiness. And the end everlasting life. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves only in the mirror of God's word. That's all I ask. That's all that matters. Nothing else matters. Only in the mirror of God's word tonight. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith of this book. Titus chapter 2 verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. The grace of God, if it's ever reached you in any slight element, that bringeth salvation, the grace of God that bringeth salvation, it appeared to all men, teaching us. What does the grace of God teach us? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. Let us just take a moment here to look at this sin called lust that God so completely rejects to anyone who would dare to name the name of Jesus as their Savior. Let us just stop here and look at the Bible. To this one sin called lust that God so utterly rejects to anyone who would name the name of Jesus as his Savior. 1 John 2 verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lusts of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Matthew chapter 5, verse 28. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye do cause thee to offend, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and another thy whole body should be cast into hell. Oh, it's a terrible thing here, God is saying. I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You know what God's saying here? He's saying if he looks at your heart, it's so evil in his eyes, it's no less evil than the man who goes and does the very act. There's exactly the same wickedness and evil in God's eyes. You may as well have done it. The same judgment is coming upon you. You are doing exactly the same thing. It is as good as you've done it. As God looks at your heart, you've done it. You've done it. Whoso looketh on a woman to lust after her
committed adultery with her already. God says.
1 Peter 2 verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. 1 Peter 1 verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. In all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Peter 1 verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Have you escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust? Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. 2 Timothy 2 verse 19. In this the children of God are manifest. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. The children of the devil, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Is not of God. I was once in a great hall filled with some of the greatest preachers of our age. Some of the great theologians of this world. And suddenly one amazingly well-known man with incredible academic achievements theologically revered, stood, and he made this statement. He made this statement in front of all these ministers. He said, when you come to 1 John chapter 3, we don't need to be in fear of this chapter. If you take the Greek, he says, it takes away all the fear of the old King James, what it literally writes down and presents. Take literally the Greek, and you'll find that he's not saying whosoever committeth sin is of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. Whosoever committeth sin is of the devil. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. He says, it's nowhere, nowhere what the King James is saying. He says, the Greek brings out the truth. You don't habitually commit sin if you're born of God, but you habitually live in victory. And so he stood there, smiling. Another man stood up, of equal fame. I won't tell you the names. You'll be stunned who they are. He stood up and said, sir, I don't know where you learned your Greek, but you are wrong. You are wrong. I don't care what of the original manuscripts you go to, and I don't care what text you use, there is no possibility of translating it in honesty to mean anything else but what the King James says literally. Doth not commit sin. As I challenge you right now with Greek, and I'll give you every detail you need to know you're not telling the truth. Well, I sat there, I thought, oh my. Suddenly a whole group of theologians of great repute, great ability, stood up defending the one side. The next business, the whole side of the other, standing defending the other side. And there was this big dispute going on between the two schools of thought. And I sat there and I said, oh my word, where are we heading? And they went on and on. After a while, I thought to myself, but they've missed the point. They've missed the whole point of 1 John chapter 3. No one, not one, seems to be aware of what John chapter 3 is speaking about. 1 John 3. No one. They've missed the point. The point is not whether we can sin after we're saved, and if we sin, we are the devil. There's nothing in the heart of John or God given in any verse in the entire 1 John chapter 3 concerning that dispute. That the point is not whether we're able to ever sin again or cannot ever sin again after we're saved, or if we sin with the devil. No. Now you see, John speaks twice in the same letter, don't have to go too far, twice to make sure we don't make any mistake about what's 1 John 3 about. Twice he tells us it's possible that a Christian born of God can sin, and that it's not the end of him. Twice. Once before 1 John 3 and once after. So that's not the point. He says in 1 John 2, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. That's what he's writing these days. I hope you know that. That ye sin not. That's why this is written unto you. That you don't live a life of sin. That ye sin not. But if... Oh. Don't be like the Jehovah's Witness now, holiness people. They're too scared to look at the second part of the verse because it smashes their theology. Don't let's get like that. If John said this, then we need to cry it out. If we cry out that you sin not, you need to cry, but if, otherwise you're a heretic. If, I'm not denying the wonderful, glorious truth that he's crying out, my little children, these things write we unto you that ye sin not. That's the cry. That's what it's for. That's what God wants. But if, as you're living in this victory, if somehow on your road to the celestial city with all the powers of hell against you, and God knew they'd be against you, you've turned from your sin, you're walking, you've been repented and you're walking on the narrow road, and all who you are unmistakable, you can't be hid when you turn from the broad road to the narrow road, you can't be hid, and all the powers of hell against you, God says, if while you've turned in your repentance and you're on the narrow road, if somehow with the powers of hell against you, you fall, child, it's not the end of you. It's not the end. Don't give up. Get up. I give you the right. If any man, Christian, sin, we, Christians, have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. He is the way, he's the mercy seat, literally what he's saying there. He's the way to mercy to God for our sins, for Christian sins, if we fall. But that does not mean we just live on, and sin and say, there you are, I've fallen again, God forgive me, boom, back into sin, forgive me, I've done it again, boom, back. Well, then you read 1 John 3 and you get a fight, you wonder whether you're saved. No. 1 John 3 is not speaking. It has nothing to do with whether you can sin after you're saved, and that means you're not saved if you do sin. He's told us it's possible. And God doesn't say, I'm going to give you up, child. Do you think that death of our sheep, his salvation is to him? Get up now. I knew this could happen. That's why I said, I don't want to sin, but if it happens, I still love you. I know the powers of hell. We have not a high priest which cannot be moved with the feeling of our infirmities, and in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. But let us come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy to the Christ who knows what it is that you've gone through, who went through that temptation, who understands why you could have fallen. He didn't. But he went through it to know how to be a high priest that you can come to boldly. Get up, God says. Don't let the devil trample on you and keep you in the dust. Get up immediately. Confess it and go on. Go on! No, it's nothing to do with if you can possibly sin after you're saved. If you do sin, you can't be saved. No. All 1 John 3 is speaking about, the whole chapter, is one thing. Have you turned from a life of sin? Has Jesus Christ set you free from a life of sin? Take that out of the gospel and you've got nothing in truth to give. What drunk, What drunk will believe if you come with a bottle and you pray with him while you've got the bottle and you let him walk out after he's prayed to be saved with the bottle? What sin would you like to come with knowing you're going to walk out with still? Have you repented? Is what God's saying, is what John said. Is it written across your life? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Have you become a new creature? Have all things passed away? Has the Son set you free? For if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Is it written across your life, I have turned from a life of sin, and God has set me free, and He's giving me a life of victory in Jesus? If you haven't got a message of victory in Jesus, you've got nothing to give. I'm not ashamed of victory in Jesus. He's able to keep you from falling. He will never suffer you to be tempted above that you're able to bear. Never. God promises. My little children, he's right under you, they sin lots. But if, as you live in his victory, God can transform and deliver you and keep you on the narrow road. But if you fall, it's not the end of you. So long as you've turned, so long as you live in this victory, so long as you know you've been delivered, so long as the world knows you've been delivered, so long as you stand out like a sore thumb, unable to hide. You cannot hide when you turn from the broad road. You cannot be hid. Everyone is uncomfortable as they pass you, from your wife to your children to the people at your work. You cannot be hid if you're truly born of God. Do you know that? And that's all John is asking. Have you really been set free by Jesus Christ from a life of sin? Not that you can't possibly ever again. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Is not of God. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Can that be? Can that be as important as this? Neither he that loveth not his brother. Neither he that loveth not his brother. So this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. We are living, now listen very carefully this time, in a chaotic and dangerous and superficial age in the church. And I believe the time has come for everyone that dares to name the name of Jesus as their Savior to examine themselves, whether they be in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Examine yourselves only in the mirror of God's Word. That's all I ask tonight. Nothing else do I ask you to examine yourself with. No standard, no word. Only in the mirror of God's Word. Even if it's the only time in your life you're going to have to. Just as once I ask you, do it, please. Just do it tonight. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Oh, only in the mirror of God's Word. 1 John 2 verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. 1 John 4 verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected us. 1 John 4 verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. This is what it means if to say, I love God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. And Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. Do you know what that means? Sounding brass. In the old days, if you are working with metal, a specialist with a metal of brass particularly, working with this metal, to test it, there was one method before they worked with a piece of brass. All the brass looked the same, but he made a simple test, and if it sounded, he just threw it down. It was going to fail him in what he wanted to do. It wasn't worth working with, even though it looked like everybody. Here's a simple test. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You know what that means? In the orchestra, with all the beauty of the symphony, and here's a cymbal. And the perfection of the conductor of the orchestra is directing this magnificent symphony. And there comes a moment where the perfection of all the instruments that can function, suddenly the cymbal is expected. It looks like the right thing, and now it has to function. But all it can do is tinkle. All it's capable is tinkling. And it ruins the harmony of everything that's so beautiful. All those that can function, suddenly there's something that's destroying the beauty, taking away everything it was meant to be, for it can't function. It is expected to. It looks like it is. You thought it was the real thing, but the moment it is needed to prove that it's able to function, it can't. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I have something that means nothing, Paul says. Nothing. It's worthless. Though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Literally, I am worth nothing. My spiritual life is worth nothing. Worthless. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. I can give all my goods to feed the poor. I think many people do in charity, magnificent amount of money, but it isn't out of love. It's trying to get the esteem of man to know how good you are. There's nothing of love motivated. I can possibly do all my goods, and still in God's sight I've done nothing. So it wasn't out of love. Love means everything. If it only comes from love. Though I give bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I can have my body to be burned. I can be so fanatical, like so many religions are, who are going straight to hell, or they give their body to be burned. I can think of such sacrifices, but there's no love in my life. God says, even though you gave your body to be burned in this religion, if you didn't have love, it doesn't mean a thing. Your religion was worthless, with all your fanaticism. One thing matters here, Love. Love. Now the next verse is, you can put yourself to the test, Paul says. What is this thing called love? Put yourself right now, every one of you. Please, put aside tongues, prophecies, gifts, faith that moves mountains, all your sacrifices, all your fanaticism. Throw it aside for 1 minute that God says it means nothing to me. It won't get you to heaven. Though you speak to these tongues, it won't get you to heaven. Though you give everything you've got, it won't get you to heaven if you haven't got this. It's worthless, whatever you've done. If you have, put yourself, have you got this, sir, with all you say you've got that makes you so evidently a great Christian? Have you got this? Ask your wife, by the way, who's sitting next to you. Ask your children, sir. Ask the enemies. I used to think enemies were outside of the church. No, they're in. I found out living in an age, your enemies are in the church. You're sitting there praying for revival and you wish, well, this guy would get out. It's amazing. Listen, have you got this? Do you know this? Because this is all that matters. Because whatever you've got, whatever you're doing, no matter how fanatical, no matter how sacrificial, no matter how emotional it is, and no matter how it moves, it stirs people to see what your prayers, what your ministry can do, even if you're casting out devils in the name of Jesus Christ. Tell me something. Have you got this? Have you got this? Because if you haven't got this, sir, you need to seriously examine yourself whether you'll be in the faith of this book. This is how the children of the devil are manifested, if they haven't got this. They've got counterfeits, even gifts. Have you got this? Love suffereth long and is kind. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love is not rash, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseen. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. You don't rejoice when you find out something that you can destroy a man with, or you find out something about his life. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether it be prophecy, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, Paul says, then that which is in part shall be done away. I hope you believe that. I hope you understand what he's speaking about. When this book came in its entirety, when the scriptures, then that which was there for a while is done away. Nothing can be added to this. Nothing needs to be there to add to this. Of anything we say we need. This is the beginning and end of God's revelation. We only need the Holy Ghost, the obedient heart. Nothing else to give revelation. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith of this book tonight. Please. Do you know what Jesus is? I wonder if you obey him. You've heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do you? Do good to them that hate you. Do you? Do you obey Christ? Oh, you don't commit adultery, you say. But do you do the other commandments? Do you love the new commandments? Even people who are so different. Do you do good to them that hate you? Do you? Tell God right now, what good have I done to the man whom I know hates me? To win him. What did I do in obedience to thee, Lord? To show the world that I am blind by one thing, love. And that I'm not a child of the devil who hates and destroys his brother before he does good to him. Who's long suffering but is kind to him, to win him, his respect, his love. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use and persecute you, that they may be the children of your Father.
examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith of this book tonight. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever hateth, whosoever doeth not righteousness, is not of God. Neither he that I've often wondered why God put these two things together as the vital evidence as to whether I'm a child of God or a child of the devil. Holiness and love. And then as the years went by, I came to understand, as I watched people's lives, holiness without love is ugliness. Ugliness. It's rigid, separationist, lawlessness, judgmentary. But love makes holiness beautiful. Love makes holiness Christ-likeness. A holy life governed by love is the mightiest weapon God could ever have at his disposal on this earth. A holy life governed by love is the mightiest weapon God could ever have at his disposal. On this earth. A holy life governed by love is a saved soul. Can you all stand, please? I do not apologize for the Word of God, but I want to say this, I know that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing. It's a discerner of the thoughts, it exposes us for what we really are, this book says. Nothing else can do that but the Word of God, you know. Now I know it cuts, but I want to invite those of you who only the Word of God matters to come back tomorrow night. If there's no place for the Word of God in your life, it offends. That's not what you want. You won't be back. We'll know who you are. You won't come back. I want to do something here this week that perhaps is very different, but I want to ask you from my soul to be here every single night and bring others. I want to bring only the Word of God to you. I have nothing else of any value that I regard as the greatest weapon in the hand of God to bring the world to God. I want to ask every one of you to come for one reason to the house of God tomorrow night. Because you love the Word of God. You love the Word of God. And you want to measure your life by one thing again in life. One thing. This book. This book. I have no appeal. Church of Christ, get back to the Bible. I guarantee you, because I know with all my heart, it's not easy to sit under only the Word of God. But those of you that love Christ in truth, I beg you, come back. If this is all that really matters, come back and let's get back to and look back at this book again. Perhaps as never before in your life. Please, pray for this man. I am the most unworthy of all God's servants. I have no doubt of that, and God need not remind me. I need your prayers, and I implore you to pray for this poor, weak man. I need it. Please pray for me. Pray that God equips me by His blood and Holy Spirit to have the right to stand in the pulpit of God tomorrow night, whereby He can bring the Word of God and make it living, so living that you will never ever want another standard in your life again but the book. Come back. Bring others. Bring others. Tell them the truth now. Just to listen to the Word of God again. Nothing else. Pray and come back. Thank you to this choir that sang tonight. I appreciate from my heart your sacrifice to sing in these meetings. I sat there, it was beautiful. It was beautiful. Thank you for your ministry to us. Thank you to the dear man that led the singing. It was lovely, sir, to hear you singing from your heart. I loved to hear it as I looked at you. Thank you for leading us with the hymns of the faith. We need that. Come do that tomorrow. Come listen to the choir tomorrow if they're coming. I don't know. I hope so. What a precious gift to the church, singing. People who can sing like this. Thank you to our pastor, whom I sense is a godly man. Oh, a man of God. I say it under the blood. Before he opened his mouth, when I first saw him, I knew I was dealing with a man of God. Just looking at him. Thank you for him letting me in his pulpit. Don't be offended by the Word of God. Please, please. Don't let the devil do that. Come back so that you and I can leave this building tomorrow night with God's Word burning in our souls. That's all. Every night. Now our pastor will commit us to God, please. Can you come up here, please, sir? No appeal, please. And then we go to our homes to get on our knees. And be, please be back here tomorrow night. Not one of you. Don't let the devil keep you away. I beg you. Even if it cuts, you pray for revival. How can you expect revival to come if you're not going to let God cut you to pieces? And only one thing can do it, this book. If you won't accept this book, don't pray for revival. It can't come until the book comes back. Revival is here when the pulpit is just throbbing with the Word of God again. That's standard, nothing less. Don't let the devil keep you away.
Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege of loving your law, loving your truth, loving you. And thank you tonight, Father, for the clarity with which your word by your Spirit through your servant has met our minds, our hearts, our needs, and our desires. Our desire to live righteously and holy and godly under you. As you manifest your life to each of us tonight, may our response be like unto that of total obedience and full surrender. In the name of our Lord Jesus, amen. Amen. I'm so grateful you're here tonight to feast on that word that our Lord has for us. You've blessed my life by being present. Just one word of a little logistics. I don't want to have to make these kind of announcements, but we do need some help.